guys were talking to the dry bones, and they came alive. We're going to sing about it today. We're going to stir up some stuff. Let's
yeah, amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Through the eyes of man, it seems there was so much have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, if one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them all past slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is victory. We know that there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we've stepped into the valley unafraid. Unafraid. And all of the troubles come alive, come alive. Oh God, the endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son. And by His Spirit breathe upon Him, show the world that You alone can save. You alone can save.
Your ordinary garbage bag, okay? Right. This is, she knows
what it is, okay? This is what they call a contractor's garbage bag.
Yeah.
You can pick one up in Lowe's, they know what it is. This is extra thick, extra big, extra strong.
Yeah.
You can put big bad garbage in here. I mean, it's just, you know, it can hold it, it's big, it can hold a lot. And so, but don't think about the bag. Especially don't think about what's in the bag. Okay?
Or you just let it see.
Don't think about the bag. Okay? Y'all not thinking about the bag, are you? You're not thinking about the bag, are you?
I'm trying not to.
Is it hard to do?
It is, because you're telling us now.
Because I'm telling you.
You see it.
Yeah, and the more I talk about it, the more you want to think about it, right?
Amen, amen.
Well, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning. I wanted us to think about what we focus on. And
that's good.
We want to focus on those things that bring us life.
Amen.
And not focus on those things that bring us death.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus.
So, I wanted to read this to you. This is a quote from a book, chapter one of a book by Greg Moore. I haven't read the books. I just saw this online. It's a little excerpt out of the first chapter. And I just liked it so much, it just kind of spoke to me. It jumped out, you know, how those things do. But he says, a soul, by the way, the name of the book is A Prosperous Soul. Mm-hmm. The Secret Key to a Life of Health and Prosperity by Greg Moore. But anyway, I just going to read a little bit. It says, a soul that is cluttered with unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, greed, pride, lust, idolatry, fear, and cares will crowd out Jesus.
Yes, it will.
His life, healing, provision, and nature. All this clutter will prevent the life of God within you from flowing out. Sadly, in the life of many believers, Jesus is on the outside of our souls looking in. With many believers, Jesus is in their spirits, but he is knocking on the door of their souls to find entrance and expression. That ring true? I see a lot of heads nodding here.
Yes.
Yeah, you can, you know, we know about this in our own lives.
Amen.
But again, the whole, you know, we want to equip the saints, right? We want to learn how to disciple people. We want to learn how to equip them. So we need to learn this so that we can teach them.
Amen.
We can teach them. Those that you have to do with, you know, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your acquaintances, people you run into here and there, you need to be able to speak into their lives. And often, this is what we find in Christians that haven't learned stuff about Kenneth Hagin and all these folks, the way of life, the way of faith, they're struggling. They're struggling. You said something really, really interesting, Brother Thurston. You said, people need to get to know God. Right? You trust God and you get to know Him. Right? You can't trust Him, you can't love Him until you get to know Him. Right? And right now, a lot of folks know God as someone who comes and puts sickness on them.
Right?
To punish them.
And
someone.
That's even worse for your own good.
Oh, yeah, for your own good. You know, this is for my own good, or, you know.
It looks like they're looking at the Old Testament rather than the New Testament.
Yeah, yeah. Or are they thinking of God as someone who withholds provision from them, right? When they need funds, right? And it's like, why is it that this wicked guy over here has got a lot of money and I'm a Christian and I follow God, God's got a lot of money, but hey, you don't give me any. So these are some of the things that we have to deal with. We have to deal with people. We need to get them to know who God is. Know who God is. Well, can you know God if you're focusing on bitterness, anger, greed? You see, it's going to be kind of tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of tough. So, This is kind of interesting. It says, what you focus on is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what Jesus said?
Yeah.
He said, whatsoever a man thinketh, that's
hard.
So he is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whatever I focus on, that's what I get.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And what you think about is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What you think about is what you do.
And the word says if your eyes single, you're full of light.
Yep.
But if you're not, the darkness gets in.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
What you consider, what you meditate upon.
Mm-hmm. And meditation's a good thing.
That's
imagination.
What,
God
created
that for us.
Absolutely.
And the enemy has stolen it, and we think it's the wrong thing.
Absolutely. It's what do we focus our meditation, our concentration, our imagination upon? You see, that's what's going to fill us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to we're going to be full up of what we meditate upon, what we focus on. Key word today is focus. If you focus on love, you will become love.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on hate, you will find things to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
If you focus on loyalty, you will become faithful and true.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
If you focus on disloyalty, though, you will become unfaithful and deceitful.
That's powerful.
If
mm-hmm.
you focus on yourself and your own needs, you will become selfish and unconcerned with others. If you focus on the needs of others, you will become a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And a giver is a receiver of good.
Mm-hmm.
Given, it shall be given to you.
That's right.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Give. The same measure in which you give, it shall be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I don't like to focus on negative. I really don't. Okay? According to Paul, if you focus it on the law of God as Moses gave it, it will bring death to me. He said the law, I'll read it. He says, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died.
Mm-hmm.
The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. Wow. What did Paul mean by that? He means that when I focus on you shall not steal, I want to focus on that. I don't want to steal. I want to focus on it. I shall not steal. I shall not steal. I shall not steal. You see, what you focus on, all those thou shalt nots, you're trying so hard to focus on not doing things, and you, by focusing on them, you wind up doing them. So what he says, in Romans 7, he says, this is applied to those under the Mosaic law. He says, in Romans 8, when he's talking about Romans 7, he says, this is what happens if you're under the Mosaic law. He says, you're going to focus on the commandment. The commandment's going to bring sin and death. It's going to make sin come alive.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's going to bring death to you. Sin's going to bring death to you. That's Romans 7. If you read in Romans 7, he's talking about someone under the Mosaic law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who focuses on that law. All right? Think of King David. He focused on the law, didn't he? He wrote a whole psalm, 119, all about the law. And yet, he just about broke every commandment, didn't he? You think about it. I mean, that's kind of sad to think about, but, you know, I mean, he had a heart for God.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he was really into stuff, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But Romans 8 turns the page. Now he's talking about, in Romans 8, the life of the believer in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about in Romans 8. He's not talking about the law, Mosaic law. He's talking about a different law. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
It has made me free from that law of sin and death. The law that brings sin to the forefront. And sin, when it's conceived, brings forth death.
Yeah.
But there's a catch. There's always a catch. There's a catch. Those who want to live under the law of the Spirit must do something. You got to do something. You got to set your mind, focus on the things of the Spirit.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And stop thinking, stop focusing, stop meditating upon the things of the flesh.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of Christians fail. Mm-hmm. Okay? They got Spirit. I got Jesus in my spirit, but my soul mind is still thinking about carnal stuff. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Paul said to the Corinthians? Mm-hmm. He said, you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, guys, but man, you're carnal. You're babes in Christ. You're so carnal. That's what he told the Corinthian church, mm-hmm. right? He said, it's obvious you're carnal because you're having strife. You got gifts of the Spirit, but you're striving, you know, you got all kinds of strife about it. Mm-hmm. He said, you got to get your mind out of the gutter, guys. It's great that your spirits are saved, but get your mind saved too. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They put their minds on the thing, on the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they focus on the things of the Spirit.
Right.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He's talking about minds now, folks. He's talking about minds. He's not talking about your soul, your spirit, okay? He said spiritually minded, carnally minded. Where's my mind? Where's my conscious mind? Okay? This is not some ooh stuff. This is what you think about every day. When you wake up, when you go to bed, all throughout your day, where's your mind? Is it on the back? I hope not. I told you not to look. You see? All right?
What's in the bag?
All right. Think for a moment of all the things in your life. All right. What does your life consist of? Are we focused on the carnal, or are we focused on the things of the Spirit of God? Are we focused on what we should not be doing, or upon what we should be doing? Companies that help people with diets, okay, sell diet plans to people and everything like this, they have learned an important principle. They don't say diet. They say weight loss program. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
But the problem is you focus so much on food, that's what you're going to be doing.
Well, you know,
the
word diet has come to have a bad connotation in our culture, okay? So they don't use that word. The companies learn to put a positive spin on their programs. Instead of telling people what they cannot eat, they focus on telling people what they could eat. They provide delicious food for the dieter to eat and concentrate on how tasty the food is. Oh, you know, this milkshake, man, they show you a milkshake and drinking this milk. Well, they don't call it a milkshake. They don't have milk in it. They just call it a shake. I don't know, what's it? You know? Probably not milk, but anyway. So, if you're on the program, you get to eat these delicious shakes. You know, get delicious entrees, right? And tasty filling and filling snacks. You know,
just heat and eat.
And they strive to have their customers focus on the food they will be eating rather than the food that is forbidden to them, right? And they have often been very successful as far as selling their stuff. I'm not talking about weight loss, but, you know, they've been very successful.
Larry, the cable guy, he gave a comment about that, you know, because now he's still fat. You know, and he's talking about, you know, the heat and eat thing. He said, it didn't work for me.
Well, yeah, people have different metabolism. I don't pretend to know how this stuff works. I do know this one, that, you know, my mom, she really gained a lot of weight. And so, this is way back when. And so, she got on this Weight Watchers program. And so, she lost a lot of weight. And the deal was, is that she could eat food, but she had to cook it a different way. You know, she's used to frying cornbread, frying pork chops, frying everything. You know, we fried it, you know, we just ate everything that was fried, you know. And so she had to go with that very low amount of fat, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, she had to eat what they had, and it was a lot of food. because they wanted you to be full. They didn't want you to be having a snack or go after something. So they had you eat a lot of food. And she said, I have a hard time eating all this food. It's a lot of food, you know. She said, but if I don't eat it all, I won't lose weight. So, I don't know. Also, it's a good thing when you can eat, you have to eat food. You have to, you know, anyway, she lose weight doing it.
Also, there's a teeny weeny little disclaimer in Itty Bitty Living Space says you must exercise. Itty Bitty Living Space.
It's all about discipline.
Yep.
Well, my daughter got on one of these weight loss programs that she ate so few calories she couldn't exercise. You know, they didn't press her to exercise because she ate so few calories.
That's very good.
You know, I know. Okay. But she lost a lot of weight on it anyway. But she food was terrible. So anyway, what you focus on. What you focus on, all right? Back in Mark 6:52, Mark is relating the incident when they had the 5,000. They fed the 5,000. The disciples were there. They were handing out all the food. Somebody wants the clock for me. I had this thing set up here, but okay, I got 5 more minutes. So here's Jesus. He's fed the 5,000, okay? The disciples have helped him, right? They saw it. They were there handing out all this food, okay? And so they were participating in this miracle. Tremendous miracle. Tremendous miracle, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to have that kind of, you know, control or authority over food, over bread, over fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, that means, man, that's authority, right? So then afterwards, he sends the crowd away. He tells the disciples, now get in the boat and go to the other side, and I'll join you later. And then he sends the crowd away. He goes up and prays a few minutes. You know. Then in the middle of the night, the storm comes up. They're in a boat trying to row themselves to the other side, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having a hard time because the wind's against them. The rain's coming up, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they're trying to row, and they're just, you know, they're maybe going to sink any moment. And good. Of course, Jesus comes by walking on the water and calms everything down. They suddenly hit the other side, okay? But Jesus gets on to them. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you have so little faith? Yeah, you're rowing. Yeah, look, you know. They're going, look, you told us to go to the other side. We're trying to go to the other side. We got faith in you. We're trying to get. And he says,
we're good fishermen now.
Oh, yeah. And they knew their way around a boat.
Yeah.
But Mark says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened. They considered, now that word considered, focus.
Yeah.
The word considered is focus. They did not focus on the miracle
on the storm.
Of the loaves.
Jesus.
They were not focused on the power they had just seen and displayed.
Participated in.
Mm-hmm.
And they focused instead on what? The store. The boat. The oars.
Let me tell you, Ray. They said really that the miracle of the thing is that this didn't really multiply until they start breaking off. Mm-hmm. You know, they
had, yeah.
Just like the water pots, you know, when the marriage. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The marriage supple, the wedding, the water pots, they filled it up with water, and they took it out and it became wine, you know. Well, as these disciples were breaking off and doing this, then it just kept coming back. So they really participated. It took faith to break that bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It took faith to, because all Jesus did was bless, and he gave it to the disciples.
For them to go out and give it. But see, here too, they're having to learn a lifetime of not just that, but of learning the law, of focusing on the law, and they're having to unlearn that. And I believe that's probably, I thought about what you're saying right there, and I believe that's the reason why that they were so focused on the storm instead of on the miracle that they had just seen, because they had a lifetime of, until the Spirit came, mm-hmm. of being hammered with the law.
And that's also, true. But Jesus getting on to them because expected them to grow from that.
Right.
They participated in it.
Right.
They broke off that bread.
But Jesus was with them there, and he wasn't with them according to them in the boat.
That's true. That is true. But he expected them because they participated in it and was so involved, and he expected for them to at least call on Jesus or did something, you know. Do something, you know, not just focus on the try to fight this storm in your own strength.
But they had this problem all the way up until the Spirit came.
They did.
And then when the Spirit came, that changed everything.
It did.
It even gave Peter boldness to stand up and preach. Before that, he was scared to death to even mention
it. Well, see, it was an outpouring that came. It wasn't just it was an outpouring.
Right, outpouring. Yeah, the Holy Ghost
in fire. It came in them, and then it came on them.
Yes,
ma'am. It was just an outpouring.
And do you think that that could have helped their focus, too? Would the Holy Ghost come? Do you think that that could have helped their focus?
Well, see, let me tell you. Jesus was their Holy Ghost on earth. Jesus was just as much as Holy Ghost to them as, you know, the Holy Ghost is with us.
Right.
So we have the Holy Spirit in us, and sometimes we still come up against things that
we don't. Because we're not listening.
We don't use it.
We don't have our focus on the Spirit.
Come on now.
We have our focus on the natural.
Right. There you go. Mm-hmm. And I believe they could have had their focus not so much on the storm, but on Jesus. They could just say, hey, we just fed 5,000, storm, you ain't coming here now. You know, something, you know. Mm-hmm. We're going over to the other side. But instead of that, they fought in their own strength.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they may not have known that they had authority over the storm, because they said, what manner of man is this, you know, that has power over the storm, over the weather?
It was a lot of factors in there, but Jesus expected them.
Absolutely, I agree
to
with that.
Use their faith. He expected that.
He raised them from the dead.
Said,
they witnessed it. And they
why are y'all so little faith? You know, he had an expectation out of them. They had walked with him and you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had given them power over everything when he called them. Did it say in Matthew?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. In Matthew 10.
You have
10,
power to heal the sick, raise
that's right,
the dead.
Right. In Matthew 10,
given them
you've
power.
Done that. Mm-hmm. Right.
But like Nick said, we're not so hard on them because they were walking through something that they were learning. Because come on, people.
Come on, not.
One of the things that I was supposed to release on y'all is that we got to go deeper.
Right.
How many people we witnessed raised from the dead? How many people we prayed for and everything, man, that had cancer and got sick, that got healed right then?
We're looking at these guys and saying they should have, you know.
Right.
But we, you know, Jesus looks at us at the same rate. You are a little faith.
It's
like
the focus.
Passions like us.
The focus.
It's the focus.
It's the focus. That's it.
That's bad right there.
It's the focus. That's good.
Well,
you got it right.
The Amplified here says that. On that scripture, it says that, for they failed to consider or understand the teaching and meaning of the miracle of the loaves. In fact, their hearts had grown callous, had become dull, and had lost the power of understanding.
Ooh,
and why did that
that's
happen?
Powerful. Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand here.
That's how they didn't meditate on it, maybe.
The focus.
Why did their hearts become callous?
Well, I mean, if they had seen it and meditated on it, they wouldn't lose.
They lost their focus.
So meditation is very important.
It's a lifestyle too.
When you have a scripture,
it's going back to what he's teaching this morning. They lost their focus that fast. It's easy. I mean, it's easy for you to lose your focus really fast because there's so much in the world that's pulling on your focus.
Lori Copeland said it's all a lifestyle. You practice it every day. You stay focused every day because it's like your life.
Day and night.
It's who you are.
Day and night.
But if you take time to meditate, it keeps that focus where it's supposed to be.
That's what he's saying.
It's just
that you've got to do to keep your focus.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Ray, you done stirred up something.
That's good. That's good. Remember this stuff because you need, you know, it's good for us to learn it and use it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's even better for us to learn it, use it, and then pass it on to someone else.
And practice.
Other people are having the same struggles,
mm-hmm.
and we need to encourage them. Look, focus on what Jesus said. Read.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. And so that's what we need to do. I had a guy come by that has been helping me a little bit around the house, and I've been talking to him. He's had a lot of medical problems. And last time he came by, he'd been in the, I was gone dealing with dad dying and everything, and I came back and he said, well, I've been in the hospital with pneumonia.